government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this 20th of October, 2009, or on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, now the 21st. Well, we've got lots of news out there. Where do we start? It seems a couple of days ago, a judge in New York declared that the healthcare workers and some others that were being told that they were going to absolutely have to take swine flu vaccines are now not required to take those. Kind of interesting. If they don't have to take them, we should also not have to take them, I would think. There are some other stories out there that we're going to cover tonight. You may have been listening to this crazy story. I mean, this is like E.T. 101 or Cape Canaveral 101. They're talking about sending probes to the moon, which they supposedly did a few days ago, determine if there was water on the moon. Now, they've been shooting pictures of the whole galaxy. I myself have been accused of stealing photos off of websites, photos of another planet, by the way, and that is no laughing matter. But the fact that these clowns are still sending out emails, mostly to Ken Adachi, to question where photos are coming from. Now, keep in mind, these photos are buried in discrete websites that nobody ever heard of. In fact, these photos appeared after I published my photos. No one had ever seen these photos before I had published them. And yet, you have these clowns coming out claiming that they're alerting Ken or me or both of us and people that we know, especially those who are exposing the fraud behind the bird flu and the swine flu and these vaccines. They're trying to discredit our work in one area to then basically conclude that if we're wrong in one area or if we're corrupt in one area, we must be corrupt in another. Such are the games that the intelligence communities play and their cohorts in big business, in this case, the pharmaceutical companies. But NASA is not squeaky clean, and we know NASA from post-World War II with Operation Paperclip was basically funded and set up as an intelligence agency and an extension of the space program from Nazi Germany. There is no doubt about this, and yet these same people are involved in a scam on the moon, and we didn't get to see the ending pictures, the pictures that supposedly prove that there's water on the moon. In fact, there are a couple of videos out on YouTube. One particular video, you can see the person who was in charge of this whole thing get up and walk out in a sort of a huff because they didn't get the pictures either. And they're not telling us the truth about this. Now, what does that have to do with the price of beans in China? Well, you'd have to ask the Chinese that or ask the people at NASA because within the past couple of days, there was an ex-NASA scientist arrested for having been stung by the FBI, they say, over his willingness to sell secrets, technology secrets, to Israel. And the guy that was doing it was supposedly the guy that developed this technology to tell if there was water on the moon. So you figure that out. Of course, if there is water on the moon, they know it. There's quite a bit of construction that's been going on the moon for a number of years. And we've seen this in pictures. We've seen close-up shots. In fact, on a clear night, you can take a decent telescope and probably see what's going on up there yourself. Once in a while, during a baseball game, when they like to give you a shot of a full moon with a TV camera, you'd be amazed at what you can see if you really pay attention. Most people are just looking at the white ball with craters in it, but if you have a couple of seconds to really watch what's going on, sometimes you'll see things moving up there. And you can certainly tell that there are buildings and construction going on. So what we're told, what we know, are two different things. It really doesn't matter what they tell us to tell you the truth, because all they do is lie. And I can assure you that this story about this scientist is a much bigger lie than what we've been told. When mainstream MSNBC or UPI reports such stories, they have a reason for getting out, and that's to deflect attention away from something else. We've been talking for months and even years about the financial corruption that's going on, and it's still going on. CNN reported tonight, Anderson Cooper, of all people, pardon me, reported that there are some enormous perks that are paid to some of the people, and he mentioned CIT Group, Bank of America, and GMAC. The head of GMAC is getting nearly $5 million in perks. And I think his salary is somewhere like $1.25 million a year. He's getting nearly $5 million in extra perks. And they claim this is just flying planes. Well, that's a heck of a lot of plane flying, to tell you the truth, and I don't know that I buy that either. And that's just three that they're mentioning, but these are three of the heads of companies that were bailed out by the taxpayers. This is, again, a diversion away from the real criminals in the White House, the usurper, the long-legged Mac Daddy, and all the foreigners that he's got in the administration. And it's not a presidency, it's an administration. Let's get that clear. With that, I want to bring tonight's guest on. He is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. He is a health scientist, an herbalist, a historian. Those are the three H's. Unfortunately, we don't have a fourth one, but he's also a musician, and he's my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Good morning, Don. Thanks. Great to be back.
Nice to have you back. Listening to all this stuff, isn't this a bit crazy, all the stuff that's going on right now? It seems like they outdo themselves every week, don't they?
Yes, it truly is, Don, and you know, where do you start? First of all, with these big corporations and the overpaid fat cat CEOs, I say it's time to dismantle these large monstrosities that are global in their agenda. I mean, all the American ones, started by Americans, built by Americans. We should just tear them down, take everything they own, and rebuild it with American workers again, American energy, and get this country going again, because these large corporations have been just ripping us off blind, because they're really just the play toys of the bankers themselves, the Rockefeller Rothschild cabal. And so I'm tired of these big corporations, that's for sure. With respect to the moon situation, let me just say, follow up with what you said. I mean, there's old photographs of cloud activity on the surface of the moon. NASA shots. So they already should know there's some kind of moisture occurring up there.
Well, they're up there. That's the whole point.
Yes, but I mean, you know, I've seen on the History Channel years ago in the mid-90s, cloud cover on near, you know, above the surface of the moon, clearly an atmosphere on the moon, old news, along with UFO activity, which amazed me because it was showing on the History Channel. And so whatever's going on up there with this bomb activity is definitely questionable, of course, Don. Something else is going on. And the only other thing I can makes me wonder about is in the late 80s when we secretly worked with the Russians in Phobos 2, the second satellite sent up by Russia to take a close look at the second moon of Mars called Phobos. And when it got into orbit, its last photograph transmission was of an object that was hurtled towards Phobos 2, the satellite, knocking it out of commission. Now, somebody knocked that down, and we didn't do it. So I'm wondering on the moon, you know, really what's going on there, too.
Oh, you better believe there's something going on the moon. There were bases there before we ever went to the moon, especially
sure.
on the dark side.
Right.
And that's no secret. I mean, that's all over the internet. and these aren't photoshopped pictures.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we get from NASA are, though. I mean, isn't it a bit ridiculous to see a shot of the moon and not see any stars in the background?
Well, you know, I'm not sure about that per se. Because ever since the supposed hoax that we went to the moon, I've been studying every photograph or video I can when there's images of the moon. And interestingly, sometimes I've seen those stars in the background while it was clearly a moonshot taken from above an orbiting satellite. So for some reason, I just couldn't pick out stars on certain perspectives of those shots. Aside from that, I just lost my other. I was going to.
Well, I was making a comment. I made a comment about the fact that when we see pictures taken of the
okay.
moon,
and so you know, Don,
or on the moon, you know, the
sure,
so-called
sure.
moon landing, there were no stars in the sky.
You know, many are doctored
well,
up,
I
but even of the
space.
Earth,
I should
sure.
say space, of course.
They doctor everything up a lot of times, but sometimes the real thing slips through the cracks, whether intentional or unintentionally. But it slips through, and somebody grabs it and gets it published, and we all come across it. Those that are looking and searching for the truth constantly, we come across it. David Childress, Extraterrestrial Archaeology is a book that comes to mind in roughly the mid-90s, I believe, as well. And just amazing NASA photographs of all kinds of structures and even machinery, mining, clearly some kind of mining contraption, maybe four wheels or tracks, and it's making tracks across the surface of the moon, but it looks like a mining type of operation. I mean, who is doing that? Is that us or is that somebody else?
Well, I would venture to say it's reptilians.
It's very interesting. It's somebody, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so sometimes these kind of photos slip through and the right kind of people get them. But, you know, even with the Earth, when we look at an image of the Earth, they're doctoring it up because the polar openings, at the poles, there's openings, and all the planets have them. And so when we see our planet or any other planet without those openings, then it's been doctored up. I happen to have some of the photos showing the openings on Mars and Earth, and so, you know, that's the norm.
Now, did you take those off of a website? Did you steal those off of another website?
Yes, I have. I definitely acquired all these images, I'm pretty sure, strictly from internet. Yes.
I'm just making a joke, of course, because
they're not in books.
Well, yeah, sure. the photos that I posted on the internet were not in books, nor were they on the internet.
Right.
You know, the time will come when our listeners and my readers will see firsthand who's behind these emails and who's behind the whole thing. In fact, we can trace this back to NASA via a few of the communiques that we got from some people. And some of them go to Canada, to the Department of Forestry and Agriculture. So,
I guess you got a big fan base, Don.
Yeah, we do. We have a wonderful fan base.
That's great.
And it's amazing. I've never had anyone really, let's say, counsel me on my genealogical research, on presidents and politicians and what have you. I've never had them worry that I stole the information from somewhere. But you put a picture out, and all of a sudden they put a different title underneath it, and it's supposed to mean something else. It's supposed to represent something else just because they did it. Then they have the audacity to come out and say that the pictures were lifted. I await the lawsuits from those whose copyrights I've infringed upon.
Right. Well, let's see the originals and where they. Let's see the original photographs and where supposedly they originated from on the earth. Then, right, Don?
Yeah, and that's all. I just add the caveat that I can forensically show that these are doctored photos and they're not the same photos. There's a way to do that. I can show that they're not the same photos because had I lifted them, they would have the same prints, the same we'll call them evident footprints. How's that?
Sure.
All right. So anyway, that's yet to come. That'll be a fun piece to do, and
yeah,
I'll be
that's
doing
down
that
the road as it all comes together for that particular topic.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, with, for example, all the planets having polar openings, and so most people don't have a clue about that because we never see it. Anytime you see the Earth or any other planet, it's been doctored up, and we don't even there's no true flights over the poles. And some people would say, oh, that's not true. We fly over the pole quite often. And that is not the case. We fly around the poles because within a 100-mile diameter of the North and South Pole, exactly the way it's situated above the Earth, because it's a magnetic field, once a plane flies into that perimeter, that circumference of that 100-mile diameter, their compass will always point true north, and you have no idea which way you're really going. So they have to avoid it just for that reason alone.
Yeah.
But they're really also not allowed to fly over it because of the fact that you can see an opening.
Well, yeah, they can always follow the chemtrails to find their way back, you know.
Well, they usually run in a east, northeast to southwest pattern here. So if you can lock on one, you know you're traveling in one of those directions.
Well, if you're looking at the ones over Phoenix, you're lost because they go in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And many other places.
Sure. But, you know, when you study the Aurora Borealis, and you look at photographs, you'll note that there's a tail, and that tail is emanating from the Earth, not from outer space. So they're telling us that the Aurora Borealis is just really a light anomaly due to the electromagnetic radiations in space.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the Aurora Borealis, when you study enough photographs, you'll see it has a tail that it emanates from. And that tail is protruding from the Earth, and it's coming from the polar openings.
Yeah, that's obviously an electromagnetic phenomenon that is occurring.
Yes,
which
from
makes,
the Earth itself.
Yeah.
And it's emanating from the interior of the Earth. That tail is coming out from the polar opening, okay? And so, clearly, from studying all this from those different perspectives, you can see that the theory of a hollow Earth and hollow planet seems to be totally valid.
Well, if you send me those pictures, I'll be happy to look at them and even
sure.
post them. I think people would find that very interesting. And then, of course, the question is going to come about, where did we get these photos?
Well, the Aurora Borealis will be obviously great professional shots that I've just acquired over time as I studied the Aurora Borealis angle of the polar opening theory. And they're all clear, beautiful shots. And then, of course, the polar opening shots, well, that'll have to be up to the person whether to believe it or not. But if you add it all up, it makes total sense. We do not fly over the poles, and we fly around them, and that the Aurora Borealis do have a tail emanating from the Earth, not from outer space. So they're lying to us about that. And lastly, which I can't prove because I didn't take a photograph, but the Aurora Borealis emanating from the interior of the Earth is from the light's center sun on the inside of the planet. And the theory was that when a planet blows up, the interior sun is a comet and the outer crust is the asteroids. And so we're told that a comet is an ice ball. Now, if you really think about it, you think it would finally just melt away over thousands and thousands, maybe a million years of traveling around and coming around orbit of our sun every so many years. You think if it was a chunk of ice, it would finally melt away or get smaller and smaller and smaller, but it doesn't. And so with my 95 millimeter Meade refractive telescope, when Hale-Bopp came by, I bought a telescope just to take a look at it, and sure enough, I seen a ball of fire. I did not see a ball of ice. So they're telling us that they're a ball of ice, but anybody with a good telescope zeroing in on a close enough comet will see it's a ball of fire, like a little sun.
Yeah, some people have even speculated that that was some sort of a craft.
Yes, well, right, with Hale-Bopp in particular, but Don, I'm telling you that it, you know, I don't think it was a craft. It was probably a true natural comet, and it was a sun, a mini sun, which conforms to the old theory from very interesting people that seem to have a lot of information provided to them at the time, because these books were old. And you can see that this comet fits their theory that it's just a small sun from the interior of the planets. And it fits the concept of why doesn't the comet just erode away, melt away over time, diminishing in size, but it doesn't. So how can it be a ball of ice? It doesn't make sense. And so sure enough, from all my observations, the planets are hollow, Don. Aurora Borealis is an anomaly every so often as light comes out of the poles, and all the planets are hollow. And I'll send you also a photograph of Mars showing a polar opening.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty interesting shots of Mars. In fact, I have a few posted on my site, but I've seen some other ones that are very, very different from the orange-red shots that we see from 3 inches above the surface of the planet. Well, you know, these photos that are supposed to represent the rovers. I mean, mm-hmm. if they were able to take shots that show the anomalies on Mars, why is it that they don't just keep taking shots all over the place? Why is it you would put something on the ground, something that trips the first time it hits a rock or some solid substance, even shuts off? And then you see the filthy lens all of a sudden get cleaned by itself.
Yeah, no question about it.
There are other things going on up there.
Whatever we have been able to fortunately get our hands on to observe that slipped through the cracks, showing all kinds of artifacts and anomalies which seem to be artificial on the planet Mars. They were not intended for us to see, and those are probably a small percentage of the photographs that they actually have. I'm sure they're covering everything, photographing as much as they can. And what we've been able to see through whoever has been able to publish it for us is probably a very small percentage.
Well, yeah, I would venture to say it's not just a question of taking photographs of the planet from out in space. They're down there. I mean, they're there doing stuff. There's no doubt about it. And you know that we're hearing rumors now. Benjamin Fulford is even saying that they're planning maybe in the next couple of months making some announcement, or maybe within the next 6 months. Of course, we've heard this for years too. That they want to make some announcement regarding disclosure. That's so that they can try to take the thunder out of the shows that we've done and others have done on these topics.
Sooner or later, Don, everything's going to catch up to them, and they'll have to admit that, oh, yeah, we've been on these planets already. They'll tell us it wasn't as far back as we say it was. It was maybe, more recent.
A couple of weeks ago.
Well, it's more recent, but earlier than they first told us. And they have more sophisticated technology now that allows them to zip around. And so eventually the cat will get out of the bag, and it can't be too much longer because they're living a Star Trek kind of lifestyle. NASA's just a front, of course, for all that.
Are you saying the long-legged Mac Daddy usurper is really a Klingon?
Geez, a little more makeup and he could probably fit the role, but no, I'm saying that the Cabal itself, the controllers of the planet Earth, the Luciferians that possess and monopolized everything on this planet, and they are the ones living a Star Trek type of lifestyle already. The Nazis had anti-gravity craft. You've got plenty of photos on your website showing that.
Yeah.
And so that's back in the 30s and 40s. So imagine now how advanced it all is. And no question about it, we probably went to Mars back in the 60s secretly on those kind of crafts with probably the Russians. And so it's just a matter of time before it all catches up to them, and they'll have to finally admit that things are more advanced down here than we were led to believe.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it that they're going to try to take the sting out of what's been coming out and on a number of websites around the world, actually. There are people that know some things and have been sharing it with the public. And then the reality of disclosure itself, the very process of these visitors making their presence known, and that's occurring on a daily basis. I'm sure you've heard some discussion about that on this show and some others.
Well, I think everybody listening, just go to YouTube and probably do a search on UFO activity, start right there, and you'll see a proliferation of videos taken from amateurs all around the globe. Just happen to have a camera, a video recorder, and some kind of UFO manifestation occurs around them, and they capture it on film and they post it. And you can see that, a lot of it looks legitimate for sure. And therefore, you come to the conclusion something's going on. Some kind of strange activity with these kinds of crafts are occurring more and more. I think it's harder to find somebody that doesn't believe in this kind of stuff or hasn't even seen one for themselves. The Hudson Valley, where I live, was the hottest spot on the planet back in the 70s and 80s. That was published in Extraterrestrials Are Among Us back in late 70s, early 80s. The Hudson Valley was the hottest spot on the planet at that time for UFO sightings. It was so common around here, it was unbelievable. Not sure why. As I look back on it, I think a lot of it may be because this country started in this area, the colonials,
Well, it could have a lot to do with Montauk, you know.
Possibly as well. Yeah. Yeah. There's old history here, very old special history, though, Don. You see, when this country was founded here, there was tremendous supernatural activity going on with the colonials. And that's one of the things that gave these guys who were a minority trying to overthrow the largest empire in the world, gave them so much courage and grand expectations. And so this supernatural activity, I think, is also a reason for all that UFO activity back in those days. And I think it's just the past coming around, catching up to the future again, or vice versa. And so it's going to get interesting, that's for sure. Everything's definitely getting more interesting.
Well, we know there were UFOs around even in Egyptian times, obviously way, way before that. But I'm saying in terms of accounts and recorded history and what you find in hieroglyphics and other artifacts about them, we know that that even the Aztecs had some contact with alien technologies and that. Is it an accident that they were pyramid builders as well?
Well, I think what you got there, Don, is more of a colonialization activity with a super civilization colonizing most of the planet at the time. And that's why the commonalities on different hemispheres of this planet with the civilizations as far as their structures and also their belief system. And so that's really what was going on then. We did have a super civilization colonizing, and this was the last of the super civilizations all the way up to our time. We, as the United States, will be the next super civilization. And that's why the dark forces are hell-bent on destroying this country, so God can't use our country in that fashion. But they won't get away with it. And this country will be turned around by the same supernatural activity that started it off 200 years ago.
Yeah,
and this country's going to go big, real big.
Yeah, their hiding of this, or their obfuscation of these facts, is borne out by their fear that we would find out that that they are not God, that there is a God. You know, of course, I'm putting it into the perspective of how they think and how they run this planet, that somehow we're not supposed to recognize that there's something greater. Look at how they're running the planet. What a great job they're doing. And I'm, of course, being sarcastic about it, because everything's falling apart. And they're just trying to hide it. They're trying to hide the truth from everybody, and it's coming out. It's inevitable that it's going to come out on its own.
That's all part of that supernatural activity I was just referring to.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just taking what you said in the context that it was always going on. This battle between good and evil was always happening. But just because technology seems to be modern in this time doesn't mean that this is the first time there was any technology on this planet, nor is it the first time anyone with technology is visiting this planet.
Well, you know, you look back and you say, okay, the Sumerians described all our planets, and they knew all our planets before we even knew them all. It took us the 1900s, 20th century, before we had mapped out all our planets in our own solar system, and yet the Sumerians already knew all of them, and they described them exactly the way NASA describes them today. So how did that all come about if they didn't have technology?
Yeah. Well, and these secrets get hidden away in the underground caverns of the Smithsonian Institution.
And the Vatican.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and places like that.
Sure, sure. There's a few repositories of all the real knowledge that the elites keep for themselves, so they can take advantage of that information, of course, because information is, knowledge is power. And unfortunately, they want it all just to use against us, but their time is coming. And the United States is destined to become great, and I'm just very excited and anxious to see that all come back around for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think their downfall is their reliance on the very methods that they use to control society, and that's the physical aspects. They have to hide the writings as if that's the only source of that information. It's out there in the stars. It's out there in the mathematics of the universe. It's out there in the music of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We can see these truths without reading the books. And that's what's got them in a tussle right now, is the fact that they can't stop that information from coming here. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And people are waking up.
Yes, yes. It's all coming about.
Well, you know, we were talking about how they mask these photos, and I listened to an interview some 8 or 9 months ago with John Lear, and John Lear had some photographs of some things up on the moon. And what was interesting is there was a nuclear reactor there of what appeared to be alien origin, or we'll say ET origin. And John also described the atmosphere as causing the sky to look yellow during the day. He said that of course was being masked out of any photographs that we see, as well as, you know, the aforementioned stars from the background. Yes, if they forgot to mask those out, then they snuck through on a few photos. I know that that's true, but by and large, they invest a great amount of time in masking what's going on, many times because there are craft flying around that you can see. And we've seen that in countless videos from the International Space Station, from the shuttles, from other craft that have been up there, from satellite photos. We've seen hours of that. Now, what's interesting is I'm being accused, and I just use this as an example, of lifting the Balqui photos, Planet Balqui photos, off of some obscure websites that no one would even know how to begin to look for these things. Number one,
right?
But and who would waste the time trying to find them? You know.
Yes.
Okay.
Who's ever heard of Planet Balqui?
Okay. Now, no one's ever heard of Balqui before these photos came out, and there's no trickery in that. But they had to try to create other photos, as if to say, not only do they have the winter photo, but they can show the summer photo with tire tracks on the ground. It's ridiculous the effort that they've gone through to try to discredit these photos.
Well, that's why when it comes to this Balqui, Don, what we need are photographs not of just remote natural scenery, but where the inhabitants
planet.
Are dwelling. Well, where the inhabitants are dwelling. Let's get a view of their civilization. What it appears to be, how they seem to live with architecture.
Well,
and
I think in time that will happen, but right now it's an issue of security, okay?
Sure, I understand, but I mean, you know, this is all a topic right now that's, you know, difficult to really iron out because we don't have much data on it yet, and these photographs is all we have. It's going to be hard to run with that. Sure, people are going to attack you. Sure, people are going to have fun running up and down with that one. But that's, you know, what else can you expect until more data comes in, which will just cement this whole thing so that it's irrefutable that this clearly seems to be another planet? Because wow, who has architecture like that? Wow, who's driving or flying around with machinery like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so That's the key, pal, to close that one out. Otherwise, it'll be tit for tat.
Well, you can see buildings in some of the photos, by the way. There is a shot, a couple of shots of a town.
There are, huh?
Oh, yeah. You can see those. And you see an absence of roads there.
Okay, well, I'll go back and look at them, but they must be clearly so far in the background, it's not substantial enough.
No, it's actually in the foreground. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, somehow I missed that one.
Yeah, there's several of them. Anyway, the point I was going to make, you know, we're talking about how they airbrush these photos of the moon and Mars and other things that they don't want us to see. But they do this also on Google Earth. And it's amazing. I mean, why would you put a map of a continent or a group of islands and show it with cloud cover? It makes no sense. Well, that day there were clouds there. You know, they certainly want to know everything that's on the ground. Well, they did that with the Papua New Guinea photos. Half of the island is covered with clouds. It's amazing that they would go to that effort. Or you can see, even looking at locations where we know there were underground bases, you see a different color grid superimposed over the photo to mask things. They go to great efforts to hide the things they don't want us to see.
Sure, Don. That's why they control everything. That's why they have that infrastructure in place. So we only know what they want us to know. We only believe what they want us to believe. And that's why whatever they tell us or show us, we'll always have to have a lot of doubt and a lot of questions with anything they present to us, because they lie every time or deceive us in many ways every time. And that's how it is. So we'll never really know everything until we're in total control of everything.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the renaissance, the brand new renaissance going that almost came about in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you think of, the Greek poets that talked about life on other planets, that actually discovered planets, and you had Da Vinci using his little telescope, discovering things. You can see the amount of obfuscation, just in general, that somehow certain people have to be credited with discovering these things, and they won't accept anything outside of their circle.
Well, what's really pathetic with these supposed authorities, especially in the science fields, is that that's how they are, Don, just like you say. And I'll use the example of sea serpents and cryptozoology anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, here we have photographs of what clear to be a dinosaur, and yet it just died. The flesh, the carcass is rotting off at that point in time when it was taken, a photo was taken of it, back in the 70s, let's say, on one example. And yet they ignore it, they toss it back in the ocean, or just let it sit so nobody knows about it on the beach where it washed up. And then they act like and pretend like it never happened, they never seen it. And then they go back to peddling their same old BS theories on us about evolution. And so that's the clear example that you can nail these dirtbags with every time. Like I used to teach my nieces and nephews when they were in school. And I'd say, when you're in biology class and your teacher tells you dinosaurs have been extinct for millions of years, you raise your hand, you tell them they're wrong. And when they laugh at you and they mock at you, you say, I'll bet you as much as you want. How much you want to bet? I'll show you the proof tomorrow. I'll bring in the photographs or the video showing you that they're still around right now. And this is the kind of material we need to shove it right in their face and let them, so they all can, everybody can see they're the fools. They're not the authorities. They are the liars covering up the truth. And so that's how they are with everything, the whole history of this planet.
Uh-huh.
It's been spun around and twisted and edited and deleted more than anything else so that they have us believing exactly what they want us to believe.
Yeah, with some exceptions. And I guess that's a good point where we can segue into this issue of the swine flu. Seems that just a few years ago we were talking about SARS, and there were people coming down with respiratory infections and various disorders. And then that sort of went away. It died out. And then we were warned about the bird flu. And then, of course, we revealed that IBM knew that there was a pandemic targeted for a five-year window as of 2006. And we brought that information out. And people like Dr. H. Huat and Dr. Bill Deagle, Andrew S. Jones, or I should say Alexander, excuse me, I misspoke, Alexander S. Jones, Dr. Arthur Evangelista, and others came out with the information about the patents and the creation of these diseases, or the revival of these diseases, and then the mutations that have occurred through the reconstruction of these, the recreation of these in laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this fits together. And they keep parroting the same mantra on mainstream media, but people are waking up to it and saying, you know, there are people getting these that are getting sick. I haven't yet heard about anyone that has gotten a flu shot that hasn't gotten sick from it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Don. No question about it. When it comes to this is a perfect example of the BS line and how they spin it all to make us believe what they want us to believe. But the lid is off on this one. The cat's out of the bag. And all this data coming in clearly showing that this is all contrived. It's all fabricated. It's all man-made. It's not coming from nature. And the IBM document is, I think, the real glue that brings all the other data together and binds it all up perfectly. And they can't refute any of this. They're BSing us. They're making this happen all on their own. With the flu shots, you know, there's a guy here that I know, and he uses my products. And he's a good guy, and I'm trying to expand his awareness further. And it's always difficult, of course, because they can't believe the Republicans are also as bad as the Democrats, for example, and things like that, right? Still hung up on those things.
I had that conversation with someone today, too.
Yeah. You know, GW is better than Obama, you know? And, of course, that's a laugh. And he told me that he gets the flu shots and never gets sick or anything. Well, just earlier, late last week, actually, and he called me, and he sounded like he had a cold. So I asked him, by any chance, did you happen to get a flu shot recently? Yes, he did, but this is not related to it. And I said, you don't think so? And he goes, no, I don't have the flu. I just, you know, it's more of a cold. And I'm pretty much steered the conversation that way because he gets perturbed, annoyed real quick. And so ultimately, Don, here's another one. Got a flu shot, got a cold. No question about it.
Yeah, there were people that are taking, I forget the name of it now, the inhaler.
I just seen that.
And you know, of course, when they started publicizing this, they took a picture of a line of people. You know, you're looking at these people shoulder to shoulder.
Sure, it's for free.
Administered, you know, this nasal spray.
Free shot.
Yeah. And Truot talked about this, Dr. Ott, I should say, talked about this, and that, you know, when you take a live virus in there like that, you're going to be ejecting these. Just the
sure.
process of breathing is going to put it out into the air, and it's going to be all over your body. It's going to touch
right.
other people without you actually physically touching them. You're probably even going to breathe it in.
It's got to be making it more contagious with that.
Oh yeah, so
that approach. Sure.
You know, it's just one aspect of this, and it shows how evil and how irresponsible these people can be.
Yes, absolutely.
You would not do anything like that if you care, really truly cared about people. There are cases of paralysis. I heard yesterday, Drew Raines updated me that there were over 84 cases of women, pregnant women, being affected by these vaccines. And I suppose the inhalers are contributing as
sure.
well. And there are numerous incidents of paralysis that have taken place. Some of them have actually been on YouTube already.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And I know that certain schools in Tennessee are administering these to kids, and kids are getting sick left and right, but it's not just in Tennessee.
Come on, parents. Get your kids away from that garbage.
You know, and you would hope that people would wake up and really pay attention, but they're relying on, oh, well, you know, we'll give you the free vaccine. You can't beat that.
Hey, Doc, can I get 10 of them?
You know, you've got to ask yourself the question, why are they so willing to give it to you for free?
Yeah, I'll take a case, Doc. And give me a lifetime dose, Doc, if it's all for free. Set me right up for life.
And, of course, it isn't for free. We end up paying for it. They end
sure.
up assigning the debt to us. You know.
Well, you're going to get sick, and you'll be back to pay their bill for them to make you well. And good luck on getting well.
Yeah, this is far more serious than experiencing a little bit of discomfort or side effects from this. And there are people that are dying. We've heard reports, although they've been basically quashed via the Pentagon and their dictates to the mainstream media. We know that there were 5 ships with naval personnel that had been given vaccines, and hundreds of them got sick. Even the rescue people
mm-hmm.
got sick.
But when you listen to the regular media, but everything's okay. Get more shots. Everything's okay.
Yeah, and then the shills on the mainstream media that have been beating this drum about, you know, there's going to be a pandemic. There's going to be a
yes.
pandemic. Now
yes.
there's a pandemic. I mean, I think it went yes. from level 2 to level 6 overnight.
Yeah. Real big pandemic. 20 people here, 2 people here, 5 people there. And it's global.
Mm-hmm.
How about cancer? Isn't that a real pandemic then? Because there's a lot more people dropping from cancer.
Yeah.
Or should I say dropping from the cancer treatments every day than the swine flu.
Yeah, and they reported 800,000 people in New York City had been subjected to this, but they said it goes back to the spring.
Well, you know, it's okay. funny. I yeah. got a lot of family down there, and I haven't heard anything like that going on down there.
Yeah. And then a day or two later, it was another 200,000. Now, that's a million people.
Yeah.
Have you seen one name of somebody that came down with it?
I would know of somebody that knows somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean,
bunch of losers, lying, good for nothings. I just can't wait to see them all hanging from tree limbs, Don.
Well, George Sr. made such a statement, didn't he? If the people found out what we've done, that we'd be hanging from the nearest lamppost.
Oh, the old crowd, yeah, yeah. That's a fact. Just waiting for everybody to come up to speed. I'm ready.
Yep. So, and with that, we still have the money laundering, the massive theft going on, the murder of microbiologists, but
yeah.
we also have the murder of bankers and lawyers and brokers mm-hmm.
As the money trail gets covered up.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did the trillions go? We ain't telling you.
Yeah, I posted an article on my site a couple of days ago from International Currency Review publisher and editor Christopher Story. He called it In Memoriam and Horizontalization News Update. and he goes into a rather in-depth, it's by no means an exhaustive list, okay, but he goes into quite an explanation of many people that have died.
And all suicides.
Yeah, these are all suicides.
Yeah.
You know, these bankers, evidently, you know, going into banking or going into microbiology leads one to commit suicide. You think that those people would have trouble getting insurance on that basis?
Well, I sure think the bankers that have stashed away vast amounts of money for easy living all of a sudden get tired of living. I find that difficult to believe.
Yeah, and they're not the ones that have actually, well, they may have been caught on some level, but maybe they've been told that, let's say they did commit suicide. Maybe they've been told that something much far worse was going to happen to them than if they committed suicide themselves. But
mm-hmm.
I just don't see these people having that amount of courage.
That's right.
From a 15-story window, or
that's right, or shoot themselves in the head two times
after they jump. You know, those are some of the accounts. Now, here I want to read some of these names here. Okay, there's a Catherine Bailey, age 41, a litigation partner with the law firm S.J. Berwin, who disappeared from her firm's offices in Chancery Lane, Central London, on Friday, the 9th of January, 2009. Her body was found in the Thames River near Richmond Bridge, southwest London, on Saturday, the 11th of January, 2009. Now, this is supposedly a suicide, and it goes into quite a bit more, but they say now that murder was suspected to destabilize the ongoing investigations and cases, which of course will continue long after the present settlement arrangements have been completed and the world has moved on, which is about to occur. Mm-hmm. Now he's referring to the money laundering and why these people are waking up dead.
Sure.
Martin Barreto, on the 23rd of August, 2006, it was reported that the nude body of a one-time deputy press secretary for the former New York mayor, you may remember this story, by the way, Rudolph Giuliani, was discovered strangled in his apartment on New York's East 10th Street.
Yes, that's right.
The 49-year-old's body was discovered on a bed at his apartment by police, after a friend had reported that he was failing to respond to telephone calls or knocks on his door. A doorman at the building told investigators that Barreto had informed him that he had been expecting a visitor and had instructed him to let him in. The violent death was ruled as a homicide after an autopsy found that Martin Barreto had died from asphyxia due to compression of the neck. There were no signs of a struggle or robbery inside the apartment, I'm guessing, despite the compression injury to the neck, where Barreto had lived alone. The possible significance of this tragedy is that Barreto, who was a partner in a New York public relations firm and a radio journalist who had served on the board of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, had worked in City Hall in the late 1990s. It will be recalled that Rudolph Giuliani spearheaded the indictment of Mark Rich, the DVD operative, Hans Brandt. Now, I've written about that as well. That could be just payback.
Sure.
But he goes, Christopher goes into more detail, and then he talks about money laundering, that Sherman Skolnick had reported. And Sherman, by the way, also died. I think it was May 22nd of 2007, if I remember correctly. Anyway, he was reporting on the tax cheating, money laundering commodities trades that were being done for Moscow, Tel Aviv, London, New York, Chicago, and elsewhere. And he refers to Mark Rich as the East-West blackmail whore for the plutocrats. Actually, it was May of 2006. I was off a year. Next sentence, he says that Skolnick died 2006. But it was May. And Sherman Skolnick's research papers were removed from his apartment as well. I'm sure without his permission.
Sure.
Clive Baxter, an Enron corporate executive, committed suicide in 2000.
Right. He was the guy I was thinking of a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Finn Kasperson, the operative, reportedly committed suicide on Wednesday, 9th of September, 2009. He was the ex-CEO of Beneficial Corporation, a large financial firm, and faced U.S. tax evasion charges relating to offshore accounts. It was thought that he had Taiwanese triad links. His body was found dumped behind an office building in Westerly, Rhode Island. Michael
now, the Enron guy, if I recall right, he was going to cooperate. He had $30 million in his bank account from working at Enron. And, of course, ripping off, you know, these guys were ripping off everybody and taking the money. And he was going to cooperate, if I recall right, Don, before he decided he got tired of living.
Yeah. Michael Connell, he was from Ohio. He was an IT expert said to have been directly involved in the rigging of drug-running George W. Bush's 2000 and 2004 elections. Was killed on the 19th of December 2008 when the single-engine private aircraft crashed 3 miles short of the airport at Akron, Ohio. Mr. Connell was reported to have told a close associate that he was afraid that the well-known thuggists George W. Bush Jr. and Vice President Cheney would throw him under a bus. There's quite a bit more in this article, but this is a fascinating piece just describing the level of the corruption.
Yeah, it's just a tip of the iceberg of the amount of people, whether innocent or involved in some way, with nefarious activity, and how they all met unfortunate ends, premature ends, and they're all on the other side. And that day will come when we'll see it all, and we'll see all those held responsible for this. As I say, Don, hell is full of politicians, lawyers, and doctors, and every day it makes room for more. And all of this that you're describing verifies that statement.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. Adolf Merkel. Different spelling, I think, from the German chancellor, Angela Merkel. But nonetheless, he's described as a German industrialist and billionaire. Aged 74, was found dead on the 5th of January 2009 near railway tracks in southern Germany, having thrown himself under a train near his home in Blaubeuren. The BBC reported on the 6th of January 2009 that Merkel had lost about 400 million euros after wrong-way bets on Volkswagen shares. Herr Merkel's business interests included Phoenix Pharmahandel, a drugs wholesaler with annual sales of about 21 billion euros, Ratio Farm, a generic drugs company with annual sales estimated at 1.8 billion euros, Heidelberg Cement, a cement operation with annual sales of 11 plus billion euros. Then he says that Heidelberg was associated with the British construction firm Tarmac. The Case Borer ski slope equipment firm with annual sales of 183 million euros. And VEM, a conglomerate of three engine manufacturers with annual sales of about 280 million euros. The total turnover of the deceased conglomerate operations in 2008 was thus around 30 billion euros. And I would venture to point out that often there's hidden insurance policies behind this, too. You can imagine if he's a billionaire, there's a ton of insurance somebody capitalized on.
Right.
Just it's an amazing article. He goes through many, many people that you've never heard of before all around the world. But these people are all associated with either the drug companies, illegal drugs, arms, or the banks, and some
definitely.
It's a mind-blowing article worth reading. Just not to read about the death, but just to read about these connections, how far this is spreading out.
Yep, sure.
And they say an octopus has how many tentacles?
Right, exactly.
It's amazing what is going on.
We're like a web.
Yeah.
It's just never-ending.
Yes. And for the listeners out there that are wondering where this is posted, you can read it at worldreports.org, or you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on news, and it's there under news. Wow. Well, Michael, where do you think things are headed? We've brought all the doom and gloom out, but you and I both know that something other than what we're being told is going to happen is more likely going to happen.
Do you wanna... sir, Don. Well, I'm one that always likes to look at the light at the end of the tunnel, or as I was telling a friend out in Michigan the other day when he asked me the same question, and I said, look, there's a storm coming. There's no getting around that. Clearly a storm is coming, and it's going to be destructive. And it's going to be, unfortunately, quite harsh, nasty storm. However, I'm looking past the storm and seeing what's going to be left behind after it clears and how nice it's going to be. And so, unfortunately, Don, I don't see this storm clouds just dissolving, diminishing, and passing by gently or quietly. How it all ends up and how soon, difficult to say. And I feel that over the next 2-3 years, it's going to be very critical. And then at that point, we'll know exactly where we stand with everything. But still, after that, when the storm clouds recede, it's going to be so beautiful as far as the country itself is going to be purged. And the Americans that are left behind are going to be real Americans again that care about everything, not just making a buck, but how they make a buck, and also about their family and everything that's right and good, virtuous and natural, belonging to God's creation. Those will be the only important things that matter to the people and their country, the Constitutional Republic, the individual freedoms that we have as a birthright from God that no other people in any other country can boast or claim. And the ones that do, God bless you, and they're just following up on what the Founding Fathers gave us and these divine rights. And so at that point in time, that's what I look forward to, because everything's going to really start to accelerate and take off again, where what could have been at the turn of the 20th century will finally become reality for us. Advanced, well, they're not advanced anymore. It's old technologies, but that are suppressed and will finally be available. All kinds of great minds, entrepreneurial activity, all of this will begin to flourish again, a renaissance, where the freedom of ideas and exchanging ideas, and where the best ideas prevail, where cream rises to the top instead of scum like it is in our world today. Because of the controllers, only scum rises to the top, it seems like, everywhere. But it'll go back to the way God has created everything, where cream rises to the top. The best will rise to the top. And those best ideas will, in a healthy, competitive way, establish themselves, and we will see technological progress in every aspect of our culture, our civilization, our infrastructure, and all of a sudden, the United States will be on a fast track at that point, becoming in just a superpower. Not like they want us to be today, with a big muscle being flexed all around the world. No, we'll have the muscle, but we'll keep it under garments, so it's not really visible. All they'll see is a well-cultured, a well-disciplined, very benevolent type of people with a healthy attitude. And then everybody will begin to admire us, and they will envy us in a good way. Like, geez, I wish we were like them. Look how good they are. And then eventually God's new world order will spread around the globe from the United States as its center. And all the other countries will finally realize a constitutional republic where the people are their government and they control everything. And the government is their slave. The government serves them. The wealth stays with the people. There won't be any wealth in the government per se. The wealth will always reside with the people and those that earn it. And so at that point, God's new world order will finally be established around the planet. And it's just going to be incredible because people everywhere just want to be happy, and they want to reach their spiritual potentials. And those that aren't aware of it, well, they're missing out on a lot. But in the future, the people that will be present, they'll all be very aware of their spiritual potentials, and they'll want to pursue them. And they'll have a good perspective of how to do it in a virtuous way. And everything will at that point become very sane and rational again. Up will be up, down will be down, right will be right, and wrong will be wrong. Unlike today, where right is wrong and down is up. And so that's what I look forward to. But
yeah.
Storm clouds are pretty imminent, and I don't think there's anything that's going to really cause them to pass by gently. Unfortunately, what goes around comes around. As you sow, so shall you reap. And our country has reaped a lot of bad karma, and it's going to have to be diffused in one fashion or another here. And I'm hoping it's as minimum and gentle as possible. But it's all up to all of us to determine that. And it's hard to say right now with the Americans out there. There's an awakening for sure. I see a lot of people still not catching on. And
When the proverbial dung hits the fan, those people are going to be in for a rude awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And
big time.
Many of them will probably go insane just in total disbelief of what they're seeing.
And they will be driven to commit suicide.
But
they won't be able to handle it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, Michael, we're out of time. We've got to wrap here. But I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints again. It was interesting topics that we covered tonight. And
thanks, Dan. Great to be back.
And I'm sure we're going to do that more in the future. You're scheduled to be on the show next Tuesday, in fact, the 27th of October. So I look forward to your visit. Now, for you, that'll be the morning of the 28th. But
that's correct.
On the California schedule, it's still the 27th. That's what counts. So I want to say good night to you and wish you the best. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you, Don. Good night. Same here.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks to those two networks for carrying the show. Also, special thanks go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Burke Elder Hale III. And we're going to be talking about the swine flu, bird flu, human flu, alleged pandemic, and the ruse, and the fact that vaccines are obsolete. To you and the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.